When somebody is sentenced to prison, we, society, assume that an open cell waits for that person. But in a few years, that might not be the case here. By the year 2018, Washington will need 1,000 more beds to house all of its inmates, according to recent estimates. And that kind of prison expansion would cost the state millions of dollars. People like Marshall Clement are looking at all the things that contribute to overcrowded prisons, as well as possible ways to fix those problems. Marshall is director of state initiatives for the Council of State Governments Justice Center. Clement says already we've surpassed prison capacity here.
About 102% of capacity. It's not just the current level of crowding that's concerning policymakers in the state. It's also the fact that the prison population in Washington is projected to increase by another 1,400 over the next 10 years. So the decision about whether to build another prison in the state really is confronting state policymakers currently.
How does what's happening in Washington compare to other states around the country?
Well, this is what's kind of surprising and why policymakers requested our assistance to take a look at what's driving the prison population growth here in the state. Crime and arrests have been falling in Washington and across the country, which is good news. And in other states, they're seeing what they refer to as a crime dividend, that with fewer people committing crime, there's fewer offenders to lock up in prison. And they're actually seeing the prison populations decline. But in Washington state, we're seeing the opposite. We're seeing actually the prison population continue to increase despite falling crime and arrests.
So crime is falling, but the prison population is increasing. How? Why is that?
Well, that's what we were brought in to try to understand. And what we found is that there are fewer first-time offenders coming into the system that are committing crime, and that makes sense given the falling crime and arrest rate. But there's a subset of repeat property and drug offenders that continue to reoffend. And as they reoffend, they spend longer and longer time in prison. And that's what's driving up the state's incarceration.
I'm talking with Justice Center's Marshall Clement. I can imagine that some listeners are thinking, well, all right, that's not that bad. Can't we just reconfigure the cells, make them smaller, put people in different, double people up? How big a problem really is it that we have overcrowding?
Sure. Well, it's a problem for those operating and trying to staff the state's prisons, because the more crowded the facilities are, the harder it is to move inmates to appropriate facilities for security reasons, as well as make sure they have access to the right kinds of programming that may reduce their chances of reoffending.
So you're saying it's more than just a bed and four walls?
Correct. And I mean, it's so bad, the corrections director reported last week that they've even had inmates sleeping on the floor in some cases. And so it really raises questions, not only for security and staffing, but just the kind of operations the state's running. The key question is not just the current conditions, but the fact that it's projected to get worse. By the state's own projection, they'll have 1,400 more inmates 10 years from now. And prisons take a while to build. And so if the state's going to go down that path, which is a costly one, they would need to start planning and appropriating funds to do that now.
Some people think that the key to this is to maybe figure out who we're locking up, and maybe we don't lock up nonviolent offenders. For example, you mentioned people who are repeat offenders, mm-hmm. property crimes. Is that a good idea in your mind?
Well, it's not so much about who you lock up and who you don't as how can you, especially for the population driving Washington's prison problem, how can you stop this revolving door of people continuing to reoffend? Lower severity crimes, property and drug crimes, but still after someone's committed and continues to reoffend, prosecutors and the public are rightly outraged and feel like something needs to be done. And so when we look at what Washington does for those offenders and what other states do that have lower property crime rates, because we found that Washington has the third highest property crime rate in the country, second only to Arkansas and South Carolina. And while that rate's been going down, it's still one of the nation's highest.
What's an example of a property crime?
So second-degree burglary is a very common crime, and it's a pretty broad category. It means it's not from someone's home. It's stealing from a fenced or enclosed area. So it could be shoplifting. It could be simply going into a fenced yard and stealing something from it.
And we are locking up in Washington state people who commit that kind of crime.
That particular type of crime in Washington state, a first-time offender would face only 1 to 2 months in jail. But a repeat offender would serve 68 months in jail, be sentenced to 68 months. And other states do more than just incarceration. They take a more balanced approach. States like North Carolina, Kansas, Idaho, that have lower property crime rates, they actually don't just met out incarceration. They actually make sure there's a period of supervision and treatment for those individuals when they come out of prison and jail so that they're held accountable in the community. And they see that's effective at actually lowering recidivism rates.
So in addition to crunching the data, you introduced yourself to me as a data cruncher. Marshall Clement, what kinds of recommendations specifically have you made to the state of Washington?
We haven't made any specific suggestions yet. The Washington State Institute for Public Policy, which is kind of the nation's leader in kind of analyzing what works in criminal justice policy, has found that combining supervision with treatment is one of the most effective ways to reduce recidivism and halt this revolving door. And it's the one thing that Washington State doesn't mandate by policy be done for property offenders when they come out of prison and jail, even if we know they're going to reoffend at a higher rate. And so that's an opportunity potentially the state's identified that they could do something differently.
Marshall Clement is Director of State Initiatives at the Council of State Governments Justice Center.